You're listening to the Therapist Mom Podcast, where private practice and motherhood collide. I'm your host, Ashley Kamajis, and here's the deal. I'm not here to give you fluff or hustle culture advice. I'm here to give you strategy to build a private practice on your terms, while naming the hard stuff about motherhood and the broken systems we're stuck navigating. If you're ready for honest, practical, and unapologetic conversations, you're in the right place. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Therapist Mom Podcast. Today, we are going to be tackling a question I see a lot in the therapist community. Should I start a private practice on my own, or should I use a company like, say, BetterHelp, Grow Therapy, Alma, Headspace, something like that? Should I use one of those companies to start my practice? If you've been wondering whether joining one of those kind of big therapy platforms, I call them kind of like big box therapy programs, if you've been thinking about joining one of those and whether that's the right move, it might be because it feels safer or easier or less overwhelming than just going out on your own. If you're feeling like that or questioning that, we're going to be unpacking those questions together today. I do think that there can be a time and a place for working with one of those companies if that company actually feels right for someone. I'll be honest, I actually used one of those companies to kind of help get my feet in the door with private practice back in 2014. So I'm not here to shame anyone for how they choose to practice. But I also want to have an honest conversation about the downsides, the parts that people don't always talk about, especially if you are a mom or if you are already stretched thin in working in an agency, and if you're dreaming about something that is more sustainable, that really gives you like true ownership and autonomy, I want you to think about these things. And if you do decide that you want to build your own practice, but you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling like these big box therapy platforms are not for you, but the idea of going out on your own seems like confusing or overwhelming, don't worry. I'm going to share with you a way that it might be easier than you think and how I might be able to help you to do that. So let's start by just kind of naming, like, why are working with these like big box therapy companies, like, why is it so tempting? Especially when you're already juggling motherhood or clients in maybe like your agency work and everything else that life throws at you. The truth is that these companies, like, they offer support and it's really appealing and there can be real benefits to them. You know, they tell you that they will handle the marketing for you. They're going to help like fill your caseload, find you the client. They may even take care of billing and technology. They might give you like your own EHR. And so in theory, like, you get to just show up and do the therapy work. And let's be honest, like, that's the dream. And you might be looking at some of these companies and thinking, you know, like, finally, this is the flexibility I'm looking for, something I can do, you know, during nap time or after school drop off or even on the weekends and in the evenings while I'm still working that kind of full-time job. And I get it. When you have been working under someone else's rules or organization for so long, the idea of having any kind of flexible schedule and steady clients and income sounds like a lifesaver. It sounds like the thing you need to jump on. But before you hit apply to any of these companies, I want you to really pause and do your homework. You need to ask who owns this company. Most of these are venture-backed companies, and they may have different values than what your personal values are. So what is the value of the company? How do they treat their therapists? That's such a big and important one, because there are some of these platforms that they treat therapists pretty well. They pay them well. And then there are others that do not. So you need to also find out, like, are they transparent about how much you'll actually earn? Some of these are questions you're not going to really get by talking to the companies. You're going to have to find other providers who have worked or are working with the companies to really get a sense of that. It's really important as well to look at, like, what are your own values personally and professionally, and how does that align with the companies that you're looking at? How do their values as a company align with yours? There are some companies that have had lawsuits because of how they have been using client data and things like that. So it's important to really look at, like, what are their ethics? What are their practices? And how does that work for you professionally? These platforms, like I said, they are venture-backed companies. And so being that they are backed by, investors, the reality is that their first priority is profit. It's not necessarily therapist sustainability or client care. And that's not inherently bad in of itself, but it means that you really have to go in with your eyes open, right? Like making a profit's not a bad thing, but if it's at the expense of therapists and if it's at the expense of client care, like that's not okay. I've heard from a lot of different therapists who have joined different companies. Their mindset has been like, this will help me to ease into private practice. But they really kind of quickly realize that it doesn't take much before they're burned out, they're underpaid, and they don't really feel like they have the freedom that they thought that they were going to be getting in signing up with one of these companies. So, like, why does that happen? Well, for a variety of different reasons. These things don't make it into the marketing materials of a lot of these companies. We don't have control over our rates if we are working for one of these companies. They set the rates. And many, many therapists report making less per session than they did at their agency work or close to it. Depending on the company that you could be contracted with, you could see as low as like $30 to $40 a session, but as high as 120-ish per session. That's after the company takes their cuts. And that's also before you have to pay your taxes. Each company is different. So again, the amount you can make definitely varies. So you have to do your homework. Depending on the company that you might work with, yes, you have clients, they may be giving you those clients, but depending on their rate that they're going to pay you, with many of these companies, in order to make like decent money, you would have to see a lot of clients. And that means kind of just potential for more burnout, more time away from your kids, your partner, your own rest. And essentially, you're kind of like recreating an agency job. Now, working for one of these companies, there could be a financial benefit. If you don't care about what the reimbursement rate is because you're still working a full-time job, working with one of these companies may be a way for you to save the extra income to kind of have that cushion for when you're ready to leave your full-time job and to go into private practice completely, whether that is with one of these companies or on your own solo. So there are some financial benefits to this, but you really do have to make sure that it is worth your while before signing up with one of these companies. Now, again, each of these different like big box therapy companies is different, but compared with how, if you owned your own practice, you may not get as much say in who you work with or like what issues you treat. You may get matched with clients that are like outside your ideal population or skill set. And depending on the company, you may still be expected to keep a full schedule. Some companies say they don't care, others, you have to have a certain number of hours. So you may not be able to truly market and attract the ideal client that you want. So you begin working with like any kind of referral that you get, which again, it's not beneficial to you. It sets you up for that burnout. And as moms, we are trying to protect our emotional energy. When our day is filled with sessions that drain us, there's not much left when we get home to our kids, let alone for ourselves. And going into private practice, we are not trying to, again, copy and paste from that agency job. We are wanting that better balance between home and work and time for our family, time for ourselves. For some of the companies, when you work for them, you don't own your client list. And again, each company is different. So it really is important to ask that if you do eventually leave their platform, what happens to your clients? Can they come with you? You may not be able to contact them after you leave. If they have their own electronic health record or system, you may not have access to those records. You may not be able to kind of get those to come with you. So you really need to be asking these questions of these companies before you sign up. Kind of think of them along the lines as essentially you're working for a big group practice. They may tell you, like, this is your own practice, and in some ways it is, but really they own all of the materials. And essentially, you're then building someone else's business. It's not yours. And so while that may not matter at first, it does become a really big deal when you realize that you actually wanted more autonomy than you're getting. You want more control and you want more ownership. This episode is brought to you by Jane, a practice management software and EHR that's here to make private practice life a little easier. Running a private practice means managing a lot of moving parts, and that's why I love how Jane helps bring a bit of calm to the busy by allowing me to create custom automations to help streamline my workload. Running a private practice means managing a lot of moving parts, and that's why I love how Jane helps bring a bit of calm to the busy by allowing me to create custom automations to help streamline my workload. Need to send intake forms or appointment reminders? Jane can automate those things, helping clients show up prepared and on time. And when it's time to pay, it's all taken care of. No extra credit card swipes or billing cleanup later, or having to go to a different system to file insurance claims. I want my practice management system to be something that feels like a teammate, not just more tech to figure out. And that's why I switched to Jane. One of the things that I absolutely love most about Jane? Their support team and customer service. You get unlimited help from real humans, even on Saturdays, by phone, email, or chat, all at no extra cost. If you're looking for an EHR that cares as much about the business side of your practice as you do about your clients, head to jane.app/demo or click the link in the show notes to book a free demo to learn more. And if you're ready to dive in, you can use my code ASHLEY1MO for a 1 month grace period on your new account. I am a big advocate of you having as much autonomy, as much ownership of your practice as you can, and building a private practice that aligns with your personal values. So, if you are building a practice, you really need to make sure that you understand the system of the business model and the practice model that you're looking into when it comes to these big box companies. Because if you don't do that before you get started, you might start to feel conflicted about like how therapy is delivered through their services, what some people kind of call like that quick match model. You may be limited with the number of sessions or the length of the sessions that you're able to provide. There may be high caseload expectations, and those things can feel at odds with the kind of maybe deeper relational work we, value or maybe wanting to do more of. And so that's why I really, really encourage you, and I stress the importance of vetting these companies. Ask around to other providers, read therapist reviews, do like interviews or assessments with them, look at their investor lists and at their mission statements of the organization, and then how does that translate into practice? Because if their values don't align with yours, that misalignment will start to show up in your work and in your energy. And you're basically going to be ending up recreating that agency job that you felt misaligned with before. Now, I want us to look at the other side and consider the other side of this, because the other option besides working for one of these companies is to go into practice on your own. But I hear all the time, I would love to go out on my own. I'd love to start my own practice, but I just don't know where to start, or it feels too hard or too confusing or overwhelming or too expensive. And so that's why, like, there is this appeal of these companies. And listen, I get that. There are a ton of pieces to private practice, and there are so many people out there telling you, like, what you should or what you shouldn't do. And it can feel like a lot of noise, and a lot to figure out, right? There's the EHRs, your website, HIPAA, taxes. It can feel like you're learning a new language because we did not go to business school. But it really doesn't have to be as complicated as it sounds. When we are starting our own private practice, it can feel really tempting and overwhelming that, like, you have to figure everything out at once, like that everything requires the same amount of intensity and energy. But that's not true. You don't need to have a fancy office or an expensive website. There are just a few key things that you need, and you need a strategy on how to implement them in order to get started. You need to see a secure way to see clients. You need some way to document. You need a way to get paid. You need a way for clients to find you and reach you. And you need some systems to help stay organized and compliant. That's it. There's not a ton that you have to absolutely have. And that's exactly what I walk you through in my Built to Run course. It helps to kind of minimize that overwhelm and really follow certain strategic steps so that you don't end up like I did in the past, having to redo things because you didn't do them in a systemic order. This November, we're actually going to be doing a Get It Done week with Built to Run, where I'm going to guide you through the actual steps kind of in real time during this Get It Done week. And by the end of the week, you'll leave with your systems in place and not just a list of other things to kind of figure out later. Because what I do know is that as moms, we don't have a ton of time. Our time is precious, it is limited. And it can feel so confusing and overwhelming to try to figure out how do we fit in building a practice. But it doesn't have to mean that we are sacrificing to do it. You can start your practice part-time. You can start it slowly. It doesn't have to be overnight. And you can create something that actually fits your season of life. Unlike some of those other kind of big box platforms, when you build your own practice, you get to decide your values, your policies, the pace really of what you do and how you get started. You have complete control over it. Now, if you are someone listening to this, maybe you already are working with one of these companies and you're kind of feeling that misalignment creeping in, or maybe you're working for an agency still and you're thinking about kind of going out on your own or starting one of these, with one of these companies, and you're wondering, like, how do I actually leave my agency job, or how do I leave the big box kind of company I'm with? It can feel really, really scary. You might worry about losing clients. You might worry about that kind of income gap. You might not even be sure of where to start. And so, one of the things that I always tell clients that I'm coaching, before you jump, you need to be prepared. So, you don't have to be ready to leave tomorrow or even in the next couple of months, but you can slowly start setting up systems now, like your email, even your EHR, getting a website, paperwork, or just, getting that bank account set up. You can be doing very basic things to get those things in place now, starting to build relationships like local providers in Facebook groups, doing things to kind of get visible in your community and start networking. And so then when you are ready, you'll have a foundation that already supports you. And if you're planning to make that shift in the next few months, I really encourage you to check out, joining us for the Built to Run Get It Done week in November. It really is designed to help make that transition smooth, to stop depending on other companies that don't align with your values, and help you to really build that thing that's going to give you the actual autonomy and control of your own practice. And I really do want to say this clearly. If you are thinking that I'm putting down or shaming these companies, or you, if you are doing that, if it feels like that's what you need, it is okay. If you started with a company, like BetterHelp or Headspace, that doesn't mean that you made a mistake. It just means that you used that as your first step towards independence. It may have helped you to get experience. I know for some people, it helps to give them that confidence, that clarity. And now you can take what you've learned through that experience and build a practice at your own pace to create your own path kind of moving forward. I am a firm believer there's not one right way to build your practice. If working with one of these types of companies gives you that stability or structure or confidence, like to be able to venture out on your own, go for it. But I really want you to make sure that the company that you work with shares your values, that they care about clients the way that you do, and especially that they treat therapists the way that you deserve, and that they pay you the way that you should be paid. If you're realizing, though, that you're ready for more autonomy, for more flexibility, and for a business that really does honor yours, then go for it. You don't need someone else's platform to prove your worth. You can do this on your own. You can build something that supports your family, that really does align with your own values. It works for your life. If you're ready for something like that, I really encourage you to use the link to check out Built to Run. That link is in the show notes. In my program, I give you the exact roadmap to help set up your practice step by step from start to finish. So that way, when you get through them 4 modules, you are ready to start seeing clients. And if you're looking for that kind of hands-on support, join us for Get It Done Week in November. There are some special bonuses if you sign up early. It's a perfect way to really finally take action and to start overthinking. Again, check out the link in the show notes. I believe that you deserve to build a practice that is not only sustainable, but that is aligned with the kind of therapist and mom that you want to be. I really want to thank you for listening here today, hanging out with me. And if this episode resonated with you, share it with another therapist mom who has been wondering like whether they should go solo, whether they should kind of go into one of these platforms. Let them know that I am here to help and support them. Thank you again for being here today. I will see you back here next week. Thanks for listening to the Therapist Mom Podcast. If today's episode resonated with you, I'd love for you to share it with another therapist mom who needs it. Be sure to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. And if you'd leave a 5-star review, it helps more therapist moms find this space. For resources and ways to work with me, head to raisetoempower.com and check the show notes for all links mentioned today. I'll see you back here next week.